Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Hi, welcome to Women in WP. Today's episode is sponsored by Ninja Forms, which allows you to build beautiful WordPress forms without being a developer or a designer. I'm Angela Bowman.
And I'm Amy Masson.
And I'm Tracy Epps.
Our guest today is Yvette Sonneveld, joining us from the Netherlands. Yvette works as a team community lead at Yoast. Welcome, Yvette.
Hey, thank you for having me.
We like to start off each episode asking our guests how they got into WordPress. How did you get started?
You have a minute.
Yes,
we have many minutes right now just for you.
Oh. Well, actually, my WordPress journey started around 2006-ish. I had been creating hand-coded websites for a few years, but I started getting more and more trouble getting those listed in Google for clients. Then I heard sort of a rumor that there was this software, WordPress, and although the code might not be as organized as a very strict coder would have wanted, it would get you listed in WordPress really quickly. They said as fast as 48 hours. And actually, that was not right. My first website, my first trial got listed in less than 24 hours. I decided to give that a try for one client and then two. And at some point, it really fast never looked back. That was my first stage of WordPress where I really was using the software and it was free, so that helped with clients on low budgets. Then skip a few years. In about 2014, I was in my mid-30s, the roaring 30s, I would always say, when you start questioning everything and wonder if this is really it. So I needed to do something. I needed to snap out of that funk, if you will. And one of the ways I thought to give that a try was to stretch my comfort zone. So I created a bucket list with some challenges. And one of the things that I really had trouble with for a long time was presenting myself among fellow marketeers because I was self-taught. And then I thought, okay, but what if I do that in a environment that's not mine, that's not where I am running this pattern? So I thought, okay, so what if I travel and then practice this somewhere else? That sounded like a good idea at first. So I booked a ticket to a conference, which was a WordCamp. I booked a ticket from Curacao in the Dutch Caribbean, where we lived at the point, to Miami. And then I realized that traveling by myself crossing US borders was actually also really, really scary. And then being in a different environment where I didn't know anyone, well, that was pretty scary too. But it was like the universe had heard me in a way. So a day or two later, I got this email, what we now call a call for volunteers. And I thought, that might actually be a lifesaver because then I don't have to focus on myself and how to find my place in all those groups, people that are chatting. Instead, I'll be working and I'll be working to make people feel welcome. I can do that. So that was my very first contribution, giving back to WordPress, which also sounded like a really nice idea because I had been making money from making websites for quite a few years at that point. So I did that and that was a wonderful, wonderful experience. My contributor, volunteer mates became my conference buddies, and it tasted like more. So I did the same thing again 6 months later in WordCamp Providence, which is now called Long Island, I think. And by doing that and by stretching my comfort zone in that way, I grew so much that all of a sudden presenting myself in my own local networks wasn't as scary anymore. So then this gave me other opportunities to volunteer at other conferences. And little by little, I got out of that funk and I built my self-confidence to a more healthy level, if you will. Then skip another few years. I moved, me and my family moved back from the Caribbean to the Netherlands. And initially it was supposed to be for like 3 months, but it dragged along and dragged along. And that's after a few months, we had to decide, okay, this apparently is where we're supposed to be right now. At that point, I was in my early 40s, and a lot of people who had come back from living and working abroad to the Netherlands did not have a lot of Dutch working experience and really had a lot of trouble finding work in their field of work. And while I had international experience, I did not have a formal education in web-related online marketing, stuff like that. So I didn't have the work experience, neither did I have the network. So what was I going to do? And then I thought, okay, let's see if this same idea works in Europe. There were no local conferences at that time. The first opportunity was WordCamp Europe.
Was that in Paris?
Yes.
I wanted to go to that one.
Yeah. But that was like a 2,500 person conference. So that was huge. So then, okay, instead of starting there, where I also will sign up as a volunteer, let's see how that contributor day thingy works, because it, quote unquote, only has 500 attendees. So this is how I attended contributor day, joined the marketing team, where I met with Bridget Willard and Dwayne McDaniels, and it clicked in a way. There were not enough seats, and I, you know, I'm a mom, I arrange stuff, I find stuff all over the place, so let me find seats, I can do that. Then I heard that the group was in need of project management software. Well, that I can do that as well, I've done that before. So by doing what I already knew, meeting new people along the way, within a weekend I knew a lot of people, and people from the Netherlands. All of a sudden I knew like 15, 20 people in the WordPress experience in the Netherlands. They started to invite me to, maybe you should speak, you seem to speak, talk, have conversations easily. They gave me wonderful advice, like, sign up, send in a proposal. If you do that, you get accepted, the rest will happen by itself. Well, it did, but it was still quite a painful experience because it was scary. But long story short, every time by extending my comfort zone a little bit, I got new opportunities. So from contributing to speaking to organizing WordCamps, extending my network, getting freelance gigs, getting job offers, the snowball kept getting bigger until last summer, Taco Verdonschap called me and said, well, isn't this about time that you start working for Yoast?
Love Taco. Taco, if you're listening to this, we love you.
Yeah, I think yes, I have a picture with him from WordCamp US in, I don't know, whatever year the first year was that they had it in Philadelphia. I was like stalking the Yoast people walking around in the burgundy sweatshirts. Like, I see you.
I see you.
I know who you are.
I love that. And it's like the moral of the story is, if it sounds painful, do it, because it's going to, you're going to grow and you're going to actually come out and like learn a lot and gain so much from that experience.
Yeah. Actually, the other day I read something that really resonated with me, and it was, no major personal growth ever comes or is accomplished without losing something or giving something up or have going through a little bit of a painful experience. And I thought, if I look back over maybe the past 10 years,
wow, that is such a great testament to that, stretching your comfort zone, for sure. Like, I think we've all been there.
And I think that's the fact that you don't give up, and the fact that you keep trying, you keep hoping that, even though, I mean, it's maybe it's like a dance always. Life is like a dance in a way. It's two steps forward, one step back. But in the end, we always move forward.
And stalk the Yoast people, because then That's the
stalking is a harsh word, but
so basically anyone who works for Yoast, like if you're wearing a shirt and you see Amy like around in like a bush in the bushes or something,
she's like lurking behind one of those poles that are in the conference centers. Like
I have this whole visual. I see this, I could see this as a TikTok. I'm just saying.
Well, I love this story of how, you know, you started using WordPress and then how moving into all the conferences really changed the trajectory of your career. You know, I feel like that's really changed the trajectory of my career. And it wasn't even as linear as your path where, you know, more opportunities came from that. It was just more for me, I was absorbing what I was seeing and able to implement that into my own life.
Yeah, I've seen that as well. That's definitely a testament to the WordPress community. And I think one of the things that because it is more of a collaborative and supportive community that we see once you get active and people are like, oh, like I see your skill set and that is valuable to this. And like I've made network connections in the same way. Yeah, especially going and, but I do want to point out that volunteering first, that like, that's a really good strategy, especially when you're like afraid of going, you know, and experiencing new conference. Very, very, like, yeah. It's a very solid way of doing it. Yeah.
Really takes the pressure and the, well, I mean, volunteering could also cause anxiety. I totally get that. And yeah. It may definitely not work for everyone. But for some people, including me, it will take off the pressure of worrying about how you come across. Because particularly if you're doing things that you already know how to do. I mean, handing out swag, taking care of codes, registering attendees, that's something that doesn't take a lot of brain space, but it keeps your mind occupied.
Yeah. And so for anybody that's never been to a WordCamp and one day would like to attend one in person when that happens again, fingers crossed, definitely consider signing up to volunteer because it does get you some instant connections to people. You know, you're going to start communicating. I did it one year for WordCamp US in Nashville. You're going to start communicating with people in Slack. And you're going to develop some kind of rapport before you even get there. And then you get there and, you know, there's the whole volunteer dinner or whatever, you know, get together. So you get to meet people, then you're hanging out with them. So it does open some doors that, you know, especially if you're nervous, it gives you an opening without having to just go up, hi, I'm, you know, whoever.
Yeah, I had that experience at WordCamp in Philadelphia. I was having an emotional breakdown. I've talked about my WordCamp emotional breakdowns a few times on these episodes. And people are always surprised when they hear that. And I was like majorly crashing and I went to contributor day. I kind of drug myself in there. I cried over my eggs at breakfast and made myself go anyway. And I'm like, this is just going to, you know, this is going to be horrible. But I thought I'll just go. And there's all these tables set up and everyone's kind of grouped up. And I met Zach Gordon there. I've seen Zach before, but he was in a very vulnerable space at the time. And he was just so sweet and was sharing so vulnerably about his situation. It was just like, there was this, because it just shrinks the world so much. You're at a table with maybe 7 or 8 people and everyone was just so sweet and so wonderful. And it made me wish that Contributor Day came first, because you could make all those great connections and then carry them into the conference. But Contributor Day is often after the conference. We should talk to someone about that. It really makes such a huge difference.
More too.
Have you seen it the other way around? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So at WordCamps, usually at WordCamp Europe, usually it's Contributor Day first and then the conference.
Yeah. I remember it being the opposite in Europe. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's super, super smart because, mm-hmm. And people aren't like kind of spent from the conference and party all night the night before. And, you know, yeah, I think it's a great idea, but I do have a little conference PTSD. So I'm like hoping like when I go to Porto, I'll be a little more happy and chill and I'll have been in the Netherlands for 2 weeks before. So I'm sure I'll be fine because I'll be all chilled out doing the Dutch lifestyle for a couple of weeks. So do you miss, I've spent some time in the Netherlands and it gets rainy and cloudy and dreary in the winter. And how's that been, not being outside of the Caribbean and all? And do you miss the warm water? And
I miss the Caribbean and I never even lived there.
Yeah, I miss it.
I have never been there, but I do too now.
You should. You should, Tracy. That's what's missing in your life. Tracy, this is it. This is the answer.
There it is.
She needs to do some snorkeling.
Let me get you started with the things that I don't miss.
Yes, do tell us.
Mosquitoes being on a top one.
Oh, I bet you could carry it away with those. Woo.
Oh my goodness. Yes. I mean, being stinged like 10 times a day. And
there aren't mosquitoes in the Netherlands? You don't have mosquitoes?
Well, we do have some, but compared to Curacao, it's such a walk in the park. So every time I hear someone complain about mosquitoes here, it's...
Yeah, they were like, yeah, no, we're not going to be here. It's dreary. And we're going to go over here where it's, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
But the nice weather and the sunshine, being able to drive down the hill and be in the Caribbean Sea in 5 minutes, I do miss that. Yep.
Oh, I mean, that sounds really rough. That's really...
Now, had you always lived there, or was that, you know, so you just, how long were you there?
I grew up in the Netherlands. And we moved to Curacao in 2001, lived there for 4.5 years, then moved to Ontario, Canada, lived there for about 3 years. And yes, everybody called us crazy that we made the move from the Caribbean to Ontario.
That's extreme. Like, that's extreme. More extreme than going back to the Netherlands. Like we're talking hardcore winter.
Yeah, that is.
Then we weren't quite ready to move back to the Netherlands, got the opportunity to go back to Curacao. And we said, well, let's do that for about 6 months and then see what we really want. And we lived there for another 8 years.
Wow.
You just bounce around.
And I mean, now we're back in the Netherlands, currently 5.5 years. And yeah. Not going to move internationally now, but never say never.
Yeah. Do you vacation? Do you have aspirations for vacations, and where would you go? Well, are you going to Portugal then? Are you going to Porto in June?
I most certainly hope so. We were lucky. We just got to spend a week in Spain, which was really nice. And that's one of the things when you live in Europe, traveling is fairly easy. The world looks entirely different, like 200 kilometers from here. They speak a different language, their food is different, their architecture is different. So that is a nice thing of the Netherlands. And our kids never lived here, so they get to experience all that too. So that's definitely a major upside from living here right now.
Tracy's a European at heart, and that's where she's floundering here in this US lifestyle. I think
it's true.
I think this is true, Tracy. I think we figured really out just what you need.
I know. I see my friends in Denmark, and they post photos and stuff. And I was like, oh, I miss that place. The place that I could just go across the street and get dark bread instead of I had to buy a bread machine so that I could make my own Danish dark bread. I just import the bread mix and
that makes sense. In Canada, we baked our own bread for the same reason, because the bread was spongy and
the bread is terrible, like, you know, all of these things. And I'm like, I've had bread in other countries and it's like real.
It's got substance.
Yeah, it does. Like, I, you know, spent, you know, weeks in Turkey eating just bread and just eating so much. And I lost weight because it was like real food and not like processed, you know, stuff to get here. So, I think we should all, do we get sponsors so that we can all just kind of like.
The time for my sponsor script?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
There's any sponsors that would like to sponsor the Women in WP to travel to Europe, please contact us at women What is our email address?
womeninwp@gmail.com.
Yeah, that one.
We're so good at this.
Hey, Women in WP listeners. This is Tracy with a quick message from our sponsor, Ninja Forms. Wish you could build forms for WordPress without spending forever or recruiting help? You can. Ninja Forms is the WordPress form plugin that is both extremely flexible and easy to use. Create contact forms, order forms, donation forms, and more in literally minutes using pre-built templates. Easily customize with form logic, upload fields, multi-step pages, and more. Just drag and drop what you need where you need it. Integrate with hundreds of services like MailChimp, Google Sheets, HubSpot, and more without needing to write a line of code. Get Ninja Forms now at ninjaforms.com. And now, back to our show.
Yvette, tell us more about your work with Yoast. We, of course, since we're stalking Yoast and we love all the Yoast people so much, we just want to hear, like, what's the nitty gritty of what you do there?
I'm a team lead for the community team, which means now that, I mean, I get, in a way, paid for all the things that I did as a volunteer for years. So I get to travel to conferences when they start up again. I get to make sure that other people get to go there too. I get to support my amazing colleague Sama, whose babies are the diversity fund and care fund. So we get to support people from underrepresented groups to speak at conferences without spending all the money on that. We get to give away gifts to people to reimburse them a little for all the time that they spent in making the software grow and get maintained and the events organized. I get to hang out with the amazing Taco and Karin and Marika, Joost. Yeah, when I was an outsider, but I knew quite a few people from Yoast, I had that sense that the vibe there was very positive. But in the past 5 months, I really learned that it's not just the vibe that you see, but that it's really rooted in core values and in the way they see what they can give back to WordPress. And it really comes from the heart. And I know that there's people that say, yeah, you see them everywhere and you're loud, all those maroon hoodies. It's maybe a little over the top. And honestly, I sort of thought that too for a while, but experiencing that, the way they think about things. To give you an example, at some point I worked for a business or was in touch with a business that would say things like, we don't have to do this according to the law. It's not obligatory, so we won't do it. And then hearing someone in Yoast say something like, we're doing this so that we can continue to look after our people. That difference is just so stark.
Yeah, it does make me feel like Yoast is more than an SEO plugin. You know what I mean? It's like and that's something I think when people get into these, like, which SEO plugin is best? It's like, well, they all do essentially the same thing. But what's always made me a very much of a Yoast fan is Yoast is more than Yoast. It's such a community support. It does so much. There's so much more Yoast does than just build a plugin. So all those things.
Yeah. If you see the countless hours that go into, I mean, we have like 5 people contributing to WordPress with the software only full time. They didn't need to do that, but they do it because they believe in it. And they are also, this WordPress gave us so much, we want to give back. It's things like that. The support of all those different languages, the endless teaching, traveling to conferences and sharing their knowledge. It's different. Yeah.
So since you've been at Yoast, have you been still making websites for people, or have you given up that part of your career?
I haven't accepted new clients for quite a while. I do still have some friends that, well, some clients have turned into friends, and some friends that were friends, and then I started helping them with their website. So I still do some. And I think that's also good because it keeps me involved also in using the plugin and the other plugins, and I see what's going on, and I still have the hands-on experience with WordPress and building pages, and so I do a little bit of that still. Yes.
We had someone who was who we talked about content marketing on a recent episode, and you mentioned that you do some of that, but how much of your job right now is writing versus organizing? Like, tell us a little bit more about what you're doing on a day-to-day basis and kind of what skill set you're bringing to that.
It's really a no day is the same kind of job. It's a lot of it are projects. We launched in Shopify not too long ago.
Wow.
And one of the core values of Yoast is that in order to make sure that your product is of good quality, you need to be your own customer. So our team, together with some of the other departments, build a store in Shopify. We're still working out some details before we can go live, but there will be an official Yoast swag store in the near future. So that's one of the projects that I've been working on. One of the things that's currently coming and will be more of my job probably in the near future is getting more of the newer Yoasters to become speakers. When I started this job, for over two decades, I sort of called myself not management material, but then I was convinced that I should really give this another try. So I'm studying hard and making lots of mistakes in growth to be the manager that I would love to have had, which probably is a combination of goods and bads of other managers that made me to who I am. What other things? I spent quite a bit of my time on learning about how the company works, basically, still, because there's so much going on within the company. So a lot of the questions that I get as a team lead, I still have to figure out. So that takes up a lot of my time. And then there's just so many other things. One of the things that I used to do for the two agencies that I worked for before I came at Yoast was writing customer stories, case studies, if you will. And that's something that we're currently setting up within Yoast. So that's another thing of the things that I'm doing. And that will get me back into writing again, because I haven't done a lot of writing for Yoast in this role. So it's really a mix of so many, many different things. When we started moving internationally, at some point I created a website, and it's a family website to keep family informed. It had this tagline, was the Sonfelds, and then never a dull moment. And we sort of made that our family tagline, and well, boy, has it become true. It's really, we keep saying that we look at each other and if shizzle happens, well, never a dull moment.
I heard it's good for the plot. That's, you know.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
It's great. I love it. Well, I mean, you have such a wealth of experience, even just, you know, bouncing around the world, even just that, like that. I just think about like the cultural differences between spaces and when you live in those places, like, it's even things that look very nuanced, they look almost very similar in culture, there's so much under the surface that you learn and grow from just, you know, being there. And I feel like just I think everyone needs to travel internationally. And I think it should be something that everyone should just be allowed to do. Like, it should just be something that it doesn't require the privilege of money and this, because so much you learn about relating to other people, you learn so much about yourself, you become so much better of just a community member by experiencing that yourself. And I think that's an invaluable experience.
I keep saying, keep telling people, if you have the opportunity to spend a year abroad, do it, because it will change you so much for the good. Will it be hard? Yes. Will you get to know yourself and run into all sorts of limits? Yes. But it will also teach you that your way of thinking may really be valid. But there are so many other ways to accomplish the same goal. And you learn by running into your limits, by crushing your head into concrete walls. You will learn that there's not only a plan A, but if you're willing to set your mind to it, you can get to Z. And every time things don't work out, you try another thing until you figure it out.
Yep. It's plan A to plan purple. It's everything in between.
Ready to move out and be an expat. I'm ready to, you know, relocate forever.
If anyone wants to sponsor the Women in WP to become expats.
Yeah, my husband would be on board if he could be a kept man. He would be okay. But the whole, you know, all these balls and chains that I have attached to me make it a little difficult to relocate and be an expat. But I would like to do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, also, there's a difference between being an expat when you're being sent from by the company that you work for to another company, where usually your social circles will all be other expats.
Right.
And that sort of makes it easy because you're all sort of in the same boat, but the experience is much more shallow than when you have to live on a local income and work with the local people, where it's really important all of a sudden to speak the local language. The difference is vast, and your growth will definitely be deeper and richer if you're able to do the second version.
Yeah. Wow. Yes, for sure. That's something to aspire to.
So when you're speaking at conferences, I know that's something that you've done. What is your typical, like, do you have a particular topic you like to focus on, or do you bounce around?
My very first talk, I decided to speak about my personal growth through contributing. It was a lightning talk, and I called it voluntourism, which is basically how I got to travel and grow my self-confidence, et cetera. It's basically 10 minutes about that, approximately the stuff of the first part of this wonderful conversation. And also very much about growing or stretching your comfort zone. Because I wasn't confident enough yet to speak about professional stuff. And I think that was a good step. Also, after a while, people came to me and said, because of that talk, I started volunteering. And that really was a good tip, which then again, getting that feedback helps you grow and helps you get that confirmation. Because we all need people around us to say, I believe in you. I know you can do it. You've got this. So that's where I started. Then my second talk was about creating buyer persona, because that was something that I was very passionate about. So the talks after that were mostly about content marketing, online marketing, but I'll be speaking on WordFest later this week. And that's an extended version of my very first talk. Because people kept asking me to do an extended version. And because since 2017, so much happened. When I did that first talk, it was 2 months after Paris. Little did I know that it was the beginning of such a crazy roller coaster, because really that's what it was. So that's what I'll be doing this time. And now that I'm not really working in contact marketing anymore, I think I'll have to find a new groove. So we'll see.
My question is, does everyone have to be able to do a Lego build to be able to work at Yoast?
Yeah, and I mean, I love the thing between the blocks, like the Gutenberg blocks and then the Lego blocks. I mean,
yes.
Yeah. I have this another crazy idea that we should get form blocks and hero blocks, so yes, that people could show their, like, freelance developers, agencies could show their clients, like, with blocks. This is the order.
I love this idea. I love this idea. You could have, they could be like, they could have the, like, the logo on the outside. It could be the, oh, okay.
Colleges could start building like UX that way. You could teach it that way.
Well, I always say, like, okay, when you're planning out your site or whatever, use sticky notes or something, because then you could just, like, do this and then you move them around. With Legos, it would be even more fun.
Oh, who knows? We spark an idea somewhere else, because nothing ever.
Yep.
We don't post the video anymore, but Tracy is lit up right now.
You should see the sparkle in her eyes. I mean, yeah, priceless.
You know, maybe the people at Yoast want to hire Tracy.
Okay.
Tracy's now accepted the position.
Could be the trigger you need to move back to Denmark.
There you go. I'm okay.
I would move to the Netherlands. I liked it when I was there for YoastCon, so I'm ready to go anywhere at this point. Just let me out of this country.
That's right.
I love the Netherlands. I've been there. Yeah, I enjoy that. Well, when I was in Amsterdam and I was taking the trams, I was like, I just kept calling the Amster trams, because that I thought it was funny. But I just love being able to get around anywhere without a car. Like,
yeah,
it's just so foreign here, especially where I live, where if you were walking on the street, people are looking at you like,
what's wrong with you?
Did you forget your car?
Did you run out of gas? I'm just so happy my sister moved to the Netherlands, like, because it's the best place to fly to Amsterdam, because, and be there, but to have that be your central location, because from there you can just go out to any place. It's the best. But it's definitely having family there and having a free place always to stay. And it's just I'm just feel so lucky. It makes it like a no-brainer, you know.
You know, one of the things that I miss the most about not living in the Netherlands, and the thing that I would basically do within 2 hours after I landed in the Netherlands, most of the time also easily because I stayed with my parents the first day or two, was hopping on a bike.
Yes.
Going to the drugstore, the supermarket, but just, you know, that wind in your hair and the fact that you didn't need to hop in your car and be in your car for 15 minutes to get some stuff. And yeah. Five and a half years in, I still appreciate and really deeply enjoy that every time I get that chance. Because I love my car. I really do. And I really love the independence that it gives me. But the fact that stuff is so close by, you can just hop on your bike and it's safe, because most towns have separate biking paths. Having your kids be able to go to school by themselves, to go to hockey or ballet or dance or whatever they do by themselves, that independence is priceless. Yeah.
And let's not forget Stroopwafels.
Obviously, but no matter where you buy them in the world, you can buy them across the globe, they're never as good as in the Netherlands, because they're fresh.
Nope. Well, it has been a delight having you on today. I'd like to thank our sponsor, Ninja Forms, again. And before we go, if you could tell everybody where they can find you online.
You can find me if you Google Yvette Sonnefeld, or in most of the platforms, I'm at Yvette Sonnefeld. That includes WordPress Slack, Netherlands Slack, and at Yoast. And all Yoast conferences and webinars.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
And thank you, guys. Thank you, girls. Ladies. So much for having me. This ladies.
Thank girls. You.
This was so much fun.
Thank you for listening. Interested in being on the show? Sign up on our website, womeninwp.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and join our Facebook group to have conversations with other women in WordPress.